Jeff Woods joins us once again. Woodsy, how you doing?
Good, Mr. Greger. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I do have one question about backs at the end of this, but it's an interesting conversation that's going on right now for parents as their kids play sports. And, you know, I want to preface this by saying this is nothing. I don't want to fear anybody into not having their kids in sport. It's just about some educational stuff on concussions. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies. I know you've taken a lot of courses on this. And how to just monitor it so when young kids have a concussion, they're not getting rushed back into the game that they play regardless of what the game is.
Okay. Well, first, Greger, let's start just, like, by defining what a concussion is. And for our parents and coaches that are listening, it's a closed brain injury, okay, caused by an impact to the head. So, and this could happen too. Just it could be something as simplistic as a soccer ball, or you know maybe just hit your head on the boards. But it's a soft tissue in the brain. It's moving and it hits your cranium. That's your skull, and your brain tissue, it starts to swell a little bit. And the best way, like I guess one other thing to explain in this too is that it's the structure doesn't change, but it's the function of your brain that changes after that impact. So the best way there to explain it would be like a computer. When your computer gets a virus, all the functions of your computer really slow down. Like they get slow and it's not very, very efficient. And that's the same thing that happens when you impact your brain. Okay. Now, as a coach, how do we know that, or a parent, that our kid has just suffered a concussion? Well, the fact of the matter is you may not know. And the best advice here is just pay attention. You know, your young athletes will not sometimes talk about the fact they just hit their head out in the field or the soccer pitch because they don't want to let down the team or the coach or their parents. So as a coach, don't take any chances. If you're in doubt at all, take them out. And you can administer what we call a Maddox evaluation. And it's basically, Greger, just five questions. You know, you'll ask the player, where are you today? What venue are you at? If they get that right, that's 1 point. What half is it? You know, if they get that right, it's another point. Who scored last in the match? If they get that right, another point. Then who's the team you played last week, for example? Get that right, you get another point. Did your team win the last game? Get that right, so they get 5 out of 5. So if they had all of those right, they're probably okay. If they got none of those right and they scored a 0 to the coach, he should take that player out of the game, and then you should seek medical attention for the concussion, and from there, your doctors will dictate how the therapy goes.
Now, in these courses that you've taken, Jeff, there's a lot about, okay, concussion awareness and diagnosis, which is, I think is great, but what about learning more ways to prevent concussions for kids? Like, you know, a lot of young kids now maybe aren't as active as people used to be, right? You know, they're on their iPads or whatever else, and a lot of it, concussions is to your head, but a lot of it comes from whiplash in your neck. What type of things do they recommend for parents that you could do to maybe just help prevent it rather than just know how to diagnose it after it's too late?
Okay, so good question. So first of all, obviously having, you know, good fitting equipment, good helmet, and then and coaches and parents kind of teaching fair play, safety first. So you're not intentionally going to go out and try to hurt another player. It's unethical, unsportsmanlike. So you want to instill that in your young players. Now, as far as training goes, best thing, like speed and agility work so that you have quick reaction time. That would be important. Isometric neck exercises, for example. So an isometric exercise is one, Greger, where you put tension on the muscle. It contracts ever so slightly. So a good example of this would be, like, you can use your hand, put it up against your head. So if you've got your right hand up on the right side of your forehead, then you'd be pushing your neck over against it, and you'd hold that for about 5 seconds. Then you do the same thing on the other side. Then you put your hand on the back of the head and you try and work against that force for 5 seconds. So those are some examples of an isometric type stress that you could use to strengthen your neck muscles. Now, you'll go online and you'll see all kinds of weird apparatus like head harnesses with chains and weights and things like that. Bad idea. There's high risk of torque injury to the neck. And you're very vulnerable to to doing damage. So I would not recommend any of those head harnesses or that sort of thing. Traditional multi-joint strength exercises, Gregor, are best. So things like deadlifts and squats for your lower body, those exercises actually force all of the muscular systems throughout your whole body to work when you're doing those lifts. So they actually enhance good cervical spine or neck stability. And the same thing when you're doing your upper body exercises, just basic strength exercises like presses for your chest and pulls for your back. They inadvertently work all of the muscular systems high up into your back, but into the neck as well. And they're very easy to learn, and they're very functional as well. It doesn't matter what sport you play.
Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us. Now, Jeff, it's interesting. The sport right now that kids have the highest potential of getting concussed.
Well, you know what? A lot of people are going to laugh at this, but in our concussion course at the University of Alberta just a few weeks back, nobody in the room answered this correctly, but it was ringette had the highest incidence of concussion in our young athletes. I mean, and certainly hockey and soccer and all of those other sports, it's high too there, but it caught us all off guard that that ringette was up there
high. Did they have an answer why?
You know, we really didn't discuss that. They did talk about stick work and just, you know, a little bit of flailing and running into the boards and things like that. It's no different than hockey, but there wasn't specifics outlined as to why it was so high, no.
One last one that totally has nothing to do with this, but a guy's asked me this question three times, and I've forgotten it every time, so my bad. Mike wants to know your best advice on how to strengthen your lower back.
Well, here's the thing, and I know a lot of trainers would say things like doing Supermans where you do back extensions, laying down on the ground, and things like that. The best thing that you could do for yourself is to learn how to properly do an Olympic deadlift. Do it with just like broomsticks starting off, learn the good biomechanical patterns, and then slowly progress weight load. It forces all the muscles that stabilize your spine to work. It forces your glutes, your hamstring, everything that would be responsible for really good spinal stability is encouraged to work doing that lift. There's no better lift than that.
Now, you said the Olympic lift deadlift. Is that different than a regular deadlift?
Well, there's then the straight-legged deadlift, Gregor, and that would be, you know, the same sort of patterning, except there's no flexion or extension in your knees. So basically, you're going to keep your knees kind of locked out and then just bend over while you're holding a bar, or maybe you've got dumbbells in your hand, and then you're just going to stand back up straight again. So that's called the straight-legged deadlift. So in some cases, there's confusions between those two lifts.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, before we go, just one other thing, too. A good educational resource for parents, athletes, and coaches on concussions, it's called parachutecanada.org. You can go on that website if you're a coach or a parent, and you can get all the information you need on preventable injury and concussion for young athletes in sport. A great resource, Gregor. So I highly recommend that your listeners go in there and have a look.
What's that website again?
ParachuteCanada.org.
ParachuteCanada.org. I'll send a tweet out of that. I'm sure there's a lot of parents. You're always good to educate yourself, especially when it comes to your children's health, for sure. Woodsy, always good to catch up with you, man. Have a good week.
Thanks, Gregor. Take care, pal.